seated this morning. Well, we want to say welcome. We're glad that you are here. And happy St. Patrick's Day, right? Yeah, and I wore my green, so don't pinch me, right? I'm a wee little bit. I'm just a wee little bit. Less than I thought my daughter had us do one of those ancestry DNA things, you know. And yeah, I'm not as much Irish as I touted before, so I am a wee little bit. By the way, my name is Rick. If you are new or newer here, I would love to be able to connect with you. If you have time to introduce yourself, I'm going to be outside in the front of the building and would love just to meet you personally. Well, we are in this new teaching series. We just started it last week. Been there, done that, because that's what it feels like. This teacher in Ecclesiastes, it just feels like he's very repetitive. And we're going to hear more of this repetitiveness again today as we look at chapter 2. And as we go through this, now if you missed last week, I encourage you to go back, because we laid a lot of context last week for the book of Ecclesiastes. But in short, as you read through it, know that this is Hebrew poetry. He's rhyming ideas, different ideas, and trying to understand what's the meaning of life. Where am I going to actually feel fulfilled? But the big idea that I want us to take away from today is pursuing life solely for self-fulfillment will inevitably lead to emptiness. And you know this is true, right? Because you bought the new car, and when the new car smell wore off, you were ready for another new car, right? You had the newest, latest computer, the laptop. It was the fastest, and you had it until it wasn't the fastest anymore. And that didn't satisfy, right? You thought, oh, if I just got the newest phone, right, it'll be the best, right? And then you got it. And then pretty soon another one came out, and you had to have that one. People line up to get the newest one, right? It's crazy of how we try to find fulfillment in our life. I want to quote this from Jim Carrey. I don't know if you know this great and amazing actor, but here, listen to this. This is crazy. A journalist, this is several years ago, that he was interviewed by Jay Stone. That was the journalist. And Jay Stone is kind of like summarizing some of this. And he says this. This is the journalist. He says that Jim Carrey says that earlier in his career, he believed that making just one more film, getting one more hit, would be enough. But then he got tired of being emotionally disappointed. Now he quotes Jim Carrey. This is a quote. Jim Carrey says, you just go like, yeah, it was a fantastic hit, but now what? Carrey's advice, and I quote, I think everybody should get rich and famous and everything they ever dreamed of so that they can see that that's not the answer. And isn't that true? That's what brings us back to this big idea. Pursuing life solely for self-fulfillment will inevitably lead to emptiness. And this is why true fulfillment comes from living life with Jesus. So to help us to get going down this road in our minds, here's what I want us to do this morning. This is not a rhetorical question. I really want you to do this. I want you to pretend like you have to fill in these blanks. I want you to do this right now. I'm in pursuit of, like, what are you pursuing right now? And I'm currently trying to find it in. So I want you to take a minute and just think about your life right now. Now, as you think about your life, this will change through seasons in your life. Like when I was in first grade, I was in pursuit of a wife, and I'm not lying. I really was. And I would go to my first grade class, and I would look around in that first grade class looking for my wife. And I thought I found her. Her name was Susan, but she didn't think I was her husband, so she dumped me, right? But I'm in pursuit of, you know, and when I became, before I was legally allowed to drive, I was driving out in the country because we lived out in the middle of nowhere, right? So you could drive. But I couldn't wait to actually drive legally because then I would have this sense of empowerment and freedom. I could go wherever I want. And then all of a sudden, you know what? I got that and I realized it wasn't all it was cracked up to be, right? Because now you had to go do the errands for mom and dad, right? Hey, can you go grab this? Go do that. Oh, I can't be out. Oh, I got to pay my own insurance. I got to pay my own gas. Oh, okay. This isn't as fun as I thought, right? So it wasn't as satisfying as you thought. What season of life are you in? How would you fill in these blanks? Take 10 seconds and just think about that right now. Okay, you got it? Now, we're going to get into the text, and here's what the teacher does in Ecclesiastes. He goes off and he's trying to find this in a whole lot of different ways, and here's a summary of it. He's trying to find it in wine. He's trying to find it in his achievements, in houses, vineyards, parks, fruit trees, reservoirs, wealth and wisdom. I mean, you talk about been there, done that. The teacher of Ecclesiastes in this Hebrew poetry form, he's telling us that he has looked everywhere for this. And we'll come to see what he concluded out of this. So open up your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, as you open it up, we're just going to start reading through these verses. We don't have time to read every verse, but we'll read several of them commenting along the way. Verse number 1, I said to myself, like the teacher said to himself, go ahead, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy what is good. But it turned out to be futile. So he already tells us, before he walks through every area, he's already telling us what the end result was. He's like, it's all, I didn't find it there. That's what he's telling us. So, verse number 2, I said about laughter, it's madness. And about pleasure, what does this accomplish? I explored with my mind the pull of wine on my body. Right? So here he is trying to find fulfillment. Man, just one more glass, right? How many of you have said that? Just one more. Just one more. And then you go to bed, you wake up, you've got a pounding headache, and guess what? Everything is still the same. Right? It doesn't satisfy. My mind is guiding me with wisdom how to grasp folly until I could see what is good for people to do under heaven during the few days of their life. I increased my achievements. And here he goes, I built houses, planted vineyards for myself. This is key, right? We're trying, you know, the big idea, finding fulfillment for your own happiness, right? Several times, we won't be able to read every verse that has the idea of myself in here. But watch how many times it shows up just in these. I made gardens and parks for myself. And planted every kind of fruit tree in them. I constructed reservoirs for myself from which to irrigate a grove of flourishing trees. Does this remind you of anything? I mean, and again, if we continued to read, we would just see myself continues to pop up here. And isn't that our culture here? Right? This idea of individualism, a doctrine that the interest of the individual are or ought to be ethically paramount. Another way to say this is the emphasis, individualism emphasizes the importance of personal freedom, self-reliance, and the pursuit of one's own goals and desires. That's what will make you happy. Just a couple weeks ago, our team was able to sit down with two global partners or missionaries. And one of them, 30 years old, it was a young lady, 30 years old. And she's already been on the field for 7 years, in and out of multiple countries. That's the line of her work, bringing the love of Jesus to all these different countries. And she says, every time I land back in America, I am so reminded of how individualistic America is. She grew up here in this culture. She grew up actually in Massachusetts and then later moved to Florida. But she, even though she grew up in that, being away and coming back, she's like, every time I land, I see it. I recently heard a story of a Christ follower from another country who came here to America. And he was sharing part of his story. And somebody else asked him, well, what is it that you miss about your country? And he went on to say how grateful he was to be able to have the privilege to be here in America. He was so thankful for that. But you know what he said? He says, but you know what I really miss? Is the idea of community. In my village where I was from, it was all about the community. And that's what this missionary girl was telling us about. When she shows up here, it's all about the individual, where there, every country, every tribe, every village that she goes to, it's always communal. It's about the community. It's not about, and they're happy. That's the other thing. And they're happy. There's this doctrine, it's called hedonism. It's been around. The doctrine that pleasure or happiness is the sole or chief good in life. And that's what so many of us, that's the culture that I have grown up in. That's the culture that you have grown up in. Just you know, you be you. Whatever makes you happy, that's what you need to do. But that's not what the scripture says. That's the doctrine of hedonism. Let's jump back into the text. So the teacher says, so I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. My wisdom also remained with me. He says, all that my eyes desired, I did not deny them. Like anything that he saw, man, he chased after it. He captured it. He got it. He says, I didn't refuse myself any pleasure. Right? Because he's just making himself happy. He's pursuing pleasure, happiness. He says, for I took pleasure in all my struggles. This was my reward for all of my struggles. Now, have you ever done, hey, have you heard that line? You deserve this. You know, go ahead. You deserve that. I know you shouldn't really make that purchase, but you know, you deserve it. Go ahead. You know, this is what Solomon's talking about. If it was Solomon, the teacher. Verse number 11, when I considered all that I had accomplished and what I had labored to achieve, he says, I found everything to be futile, a pursuit of the wind. There was nothing to be gained under the sun. You see, here's that idea of hevel again, you know, trying to hold on to smoke, grasp it. And notice his pursuit, everything that was here, everything that the world had to offer, his culture had to offer him. The wise person has eyes in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. Yet, I also knew that one fate comes to them both. So, I said to myself, what happens to the fool will also happen to me. Why then have I been overly wise? And I said to myself that this also is futile. What are you pursuing? What are you chasing after? What are you trying to find your happiness in? He says, therefore, I hated life because the work that was done under the sun, meaning here in our, on this world, in this world, was distressing to me. For everything is futile and a pursuit of the wind. I hated all my work that I labored at under the sun because I must leave it to the one who comes after me. It's like, what's, you know, I'm gonna, we're temporary, right? We talked about that last week. We're just temporary here. He's like, I'm just gonna leave it. And then what will happen to it? For what does a person get with all his work and all his efforts that he has labored at under the sun? See, again, it's about what do you get out of it. And when you and I pursue life, like what's in it for me, then we end up, we understand when we think that that is what is going to be fulfilling for us, that's when we realize, like the teacher did, it will never satisfy. You're always going to be chasing and you're always going to be worn out, because once you reach that, Once you reach that salary that you thought, man, if I could just attain that, you'll be at that salary for a little while, and then you're going to be like, oh, I think I need a little bit more. And then you start reaching for the next salary line. The teacher says, for all his days are filled with grief, his occupation is sorrowful, even at night his mind does not rest. This too is futile. Do you go to bed and your mind is just racing? You can't even like get a good night's rest because you're wondering, because you're wrestling on the inside. You're like, you keep on asking, what is going to satisfy this? Well, I want us to look into the New Testament. I want us to see how the Apostle John looks at this and describes this. And again, remembering who the Apostle John is, somebody who walked with Jesus, who spent 3 years with Jesus. He was an eyewitness to everything, to Jesus' teaching, to Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Now, the Apostle John wrote the Gospel of John, but he also wrote three small little epistles towards the end of the Bible. And that's where I want us to go first. It's 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 16. It says, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride in one's possessions. Did you capture that? You see those three areas, right? All these desires that we have on the inside. He says this is not from the Father, meaning the Heavenly Father. And he's talking to Christ followers here. He's talking to people who say that they are trying to pursue the way of Jesus. So he's bringing them back. He's reminding them, hey, you're not going to find the happiness that you want. He's like, if you are following this way of life, if you're just trying to make yourself happy with everything that our culture tells us or everything that you can find here in the culture, he's like, that's not from the Father, not from your Heavenly Father. He says, that's from the world. And the world with its lust is passing away. He's like, that's fleeting. See, John is saying the same thing that the teacher is saying in Ecclesiastes. He's like, it's all just fleeting. It's going to pass. You can't hold on to it to where it's going to really satisfy. He says, but the one who does the will of God, well, now he remains, or that remains forever. That's where the satisfaction will be, is in your relationship with the Father. You being one with the Father. Now, John, the same John, in the Gospel of John, he writes what he hears Jesus say. In John 15:9, these are the words of Jesus. And Jesus says this, as the Father has loved me, so Jesus is talking about himself, like the Father, the God, our Heavenly Father, as he's loved me, Jesus, he says, I have also loved you. He says, remain in my love. Why? Because I have told you these things so that my joy, the peace, the serenity that Jesus had here, so that my joy may be in you, like it will be inside, like it's possible for you to have the same kind of joy that Jesus had while he walked on this earth for those 30 plus years. That's possible. Because he said it. He wants you to have the same kind of joy that Jesus had, that same kind of shalom. We sang that song about who Jehovah is. He's the Jehovah Shalom. He's the God of peace. He wants you to have that. You can go to bed at night and sleep peacefully, no matter how upside down your world is, if you're connected to Jesus. He says, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. See, that's where we find completeness. It's in our relationship with Jesus. Now, when our team was away recently at this church leadership conference that we went to, one of the main session speakers shared this illustration. I'm going to share it with you because I thought, oh my gosh, this is so good. And so what I want you to do is envision. I want you to envision it's Christmas time. And you went out to go cut down your Christmas tree, right? You're one of those families, right? You're one of those families who are like, oh, this is going to be wonderful family times, right? And you go out there and your kids are screaming, I don't want to be, it's cold, Dad, you know? We tried this once, or maybe twice we tried this, right? It didn't work out too well. We stopped doing it. But let's pretend that you're that one, right? And you cut down the tree, right? You bring it back. You put it in the stand, you put some water in it, and maybe you Google, like, how do I keep my tree alive longer? Because that's your goal, right? Don't let the needles fall until after Christmas, right? So you put some sugar in there, you fill it up with the water, and you make sure it has water and sugar and all that, and then you decorate it. It's all decorated up. And it's beautiful. But it's dying. Why is it dying? Because you cut it from its source. We're dying. And your joy will never be complete outside of being connected to the source of life. And that's the person of Jesus. You can decorate yourself all up. You can get all jacked up. You can have the beach body going. You can get the spray tan, you know. And you can decorate it, right? But what's happening on in here? If you're not connected, you're dying. You're never going to be satisfied. No matter the wealth accumulation, no matter what you're driving, no matter how jacked up you get your body, how tan you are. So Jesus is saying, let your joy be complete in me. And so the invitation is for you to commune with the Father. Now, does this mean we can't find enjoyment here? No. I love how the teacher of Ecclesiastes summarizes this. Let's go back to the text. And in verses 24 and 25, he says, there is nothing better for a person than to eat, drink, and enjoy his work. So he's talking about, like, it's a good thing to sit down and have a meal and enjoy it. Savor every piece of the filet or the ribeye, right? Enjoy it. Enjoy that drink. Enjoy your work. He says, I have seen that even this is from God's hand, because who can eat and who can enjoy life apart from Him? You see, that's the point. When we're just looking for fulfillment for ourselves and not being connected to the source, well, then you're just doing it under the sun. But when you're doing it apart from it, when you're going to school and you're like, man, I'm going to school and I'm going to be connected. I'm here to, you know, to bring honor, to be a light, to point people back to God. I'm going to get the best grade I can get just because I want to bring more honor and glory to God. And you know, when you're playing, you know, football, basketball, whatever your sport is or whatever your musical instrument is, and you're doing it to the best of your ability and you're doing it with God and inviting Him into that, you enjoy it. When you're having dinner, enjoy it. Have a good meal. I don't do a very good job at this, of enjoying the moment. And I've been trying to do this. I've been trying to be so much more intentional. Friday night when the kids come over and we're all sitting around and we're having pizza, man, if I just pause, there are times when it just moves me to tears. Because I've got all my kids, all my adult, my young adult kids sitting around the table. And some of their one another's. Sometimes it's just their friends will show up. We're laughing. They're poking fun of me or of their mom. But we're just enjoying it. There's nothing better. Enjoy it with God, not apart from Him. You can enjoy your work. You can love your work. You can find so much fulfillment out of your work, but you do it with God. You're like, God, I'm going to show up to the office and I'm going to put my best effort here today. I need your help to do it. But man, I'm going to point people back to you. I'm going to be a light for you. And when people, you know, are complaining to me, I'm going to figure out how do I turn that around. And I'm going to point them back to God somehow. I'm going to look for a way. And that's what I invite you to do. That's why the very first next step says this. It's for you, Christ follower. This very first next step says this. This week, I'm going to intentionally spend time doing something fun or that I enjoy, and then thank God that I get to do it. Will you do that? This week, I want you to take your connection card. If you're online, there's a connection card link for you to fill out. We want to pray for you. And we want to pray for you right here in the room. So grab that connection card and be like, just try this. Try this for a week. Try to be intentional about whatever it is that you're doing and enjoy it. Go into it and say, I'm going to enjoy this. You know, I've even done this with my chores around the house, right? I'm just like, God, I'm just going to enjoy you. I hate mopping. You know, I hate vacuuming the couch. You know, we got two dogs. We got to vacuum the hair, right? I wish we didn't have the dogs, but hey, we do. So I'm vacuuming. I hate it. But I'm going to enjoy you. I'm going to enjoy you, God, while I'm doing this. We can do this. Be intentional and just enjoy it and see how it changes you. Now, step number two, this is for the Christ follower too. I want you to be restored with your hope. It says, I've been living in a space where I'm just looking for what makes me happy. I have forgotten that I am created for something more. To be in communion with God. I desire to get back to that place. Man, some of you have been following Jesus for 20, 25 years. And you've just fallen into a routine. You've become disconnected from the source. And you have been trying to find your happiness in something else other than just being connected. My encouragement to you is come back to the source. My encouragement to you is get back connected to the source of life and allow Him to restore your hope once again. We want to pray for you. We want to pray for you by name. Not only does our staff team pray over these, our prayer team prays over these. You have multiple people praying for you when you fill out one of these connection cards. So again, put your name on there, circle what step it is, and then just drop it into the offering boxes in the back of this room on your way out. Now, there's a third next step, and that's for those of you who are in the room or are watching online, where you have never surrendered your life over to Jesus, but you're willing to explore this, all right? So here's what it says. I've been on a continual search for real happiness, but have never looked for it in a relationship with Jesus. Pray for me as I explore what that might look like. Will you let us pray for you by name? And we're going to pray this week that God will show Himself to be so real to you that you won't be able to deny it. So, put your name, circle step number three, drop them into the offering boxes. And I just want to pray for us right now. So, Father, we come to you on this St. Patrick's Day, thanking you that our source of happiness doesn't come because we went to a parade or we went out last night with friends or we're going to some celebration today. Our source of happiness comes because of you, being connected to you, being in communion with you. And so I pray for every person. Maybe there's a person here that has never received you as Savior. Jesus, show them, overwhelm them with your love. Draw them to you. And God, I pray that they would surrender and submit their life to you. And God, I'm praying for the Christ follower, the person who has already acknowledged that they were in need of a Savior because they were a sinner. But Jesus, they have lost hope. They've been trying to find happiness somewhere else, satisfaction in some other place. Jesus, call them back. And may they also commune with you, I pray. We can't do this without you. Holy Spirit, please come. Show us. Draw us. Open our eyes and open our ears, we pray. Let us hear from you. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're going to do. We love you.